God's not against science. You know, it's no good being ignorant of science. In the same way, I don't think scientists should be ignorant of faith.
Hi, I'm Richard Fox, and this is Messages of Hope. It's often said that politics and religion don't mix. A more recent version of that equation is that science and faith don't mix. That's what we're talking about in today's interview. To help us do that is Reverend Dr. Graham Buxton. Can we believe in science and believe in God?
Thanks for joining us today, Graham.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be with you.
How do you see the relationship between science and faith?
A friend of mine, a colleague of mine, once likened it to a marriage. You know, I'm married and I have disagreements with my wife from time to time, and sometimes we can be in a strong, heated argument. But we're not headed for the divorce courts. The fact that science and faith are, there have been tensions there historically and even now, doesn't mean that they're irreconcilable. I don't think science and faith are headed for the divorce courts. I don't think they ever will, because science is a gift from God. We are created with this sense of discovery. I think curiosity is one of the gifts that God has given to us. I think imagination is one of the gifts that God has given to us. And all of these, I think, can be brought into service in this exploration of this wonderful world in which we live.
Can you give us a picture that illustrates the difference between science and faith?
Yes, when I listen to music, I mean, I had a musician just actually in my room just this morning, and he was talking about just the technical aspects of a particular piece of music. And of course, you can describe music in that sort of way as an academic discipline, or understanding music in terms of its technical attributes and dimensions. But when I listen to a piece of music, I don't look through those lenses at all. I listen to music and it does something for me. Sometimes I find myself weeping. At other times, it gives life to my spirit. It lifts me up and it evokes all sorts of deep human feelings within me. And it was meant to do that, because music is an artistic expression of the fullness of life. So it's both and. It's not one or the other. If you have a given reality, say a kettle is boiling, you know, why is the kettle boiling? Science says, well, because there's burning gas underneath the kettle. But at a personal level, the kettle may be boiling because I want a cup of tea. If you want to get the whole picture, then both actually contribute to an answer, but they come from different angles. It's not that one is wrong and the other is right. It's not that one is unnecessary and the other is necessary. Both of them are valid responses to something that we encounter that's happening in the real world.
Do you think it's fair to summarise science and faith as science is the how of things and faith is the why or the who behind things?
I mean, I think that's basically where the differences lie. Science, as John Polkinghorne once said, science is in the business of testing. Faith is in the business of trusting. But I actually think there's a convergence between the two.
Yeah, how do they come together?
Well, scientific knowledge, I think, can broaden the horizon of religious faith, and the perspectives of religious faith can deepen our understanding of the universe. I think they can each actually inform the other. I can remember holding my firstborn child in my arms and breathing a prayer of thanksgiving to the God that I did not then yet know. Subsequently, I began to start reflecting on this from a scientific perspective. How is it that 75 trillion cells self-organize into this life that I'm holding in my arms, emerging over a period of 9 months out of just two? Now, to me, there is a wonder about that. You know, the scriptures talk about we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Science does not answer the significant why questions that I think faith addresses. I think science is more about mechanism than meaning. And science is not a worldview. Science is a way of discovering something about the natural world in which we live. And it therefore is limited. It operates very well within those boundaries. But science can't address some of the deeper questions about the purpose of life and what life is all about. And I think faith does have answers there. And therefore, I think that they do have something to contribute to one another. They're not on opposite sides. Faith and science aren't on opposite sides. I'm often reminded of what Pope John Paul II said, who once declared that science can purify religion from error and superstition, and religion can purify science from idolatry and false absolutes. each can draw the other into a wider world, a world in which actually both can flourish. So we need to learn to listen to one another. And I think if science is open, I think from faith and from theology, I think it has much to learn about some of the mysteries, and it won't be able to penetrate by its own investigative efforts.
Coming up, Graham will share stories of great scientists who also had a strong belief in God. You're listening to Messages of Hope. Feel free to go to our Facebook page, Messages of Hope, and make a comment about today's program. We're talking with Reverend Dr. Graham Buxton about the relationship between science and faith.
Graham, do you have any examples of people who are committed Christians and also respected scientists?
Think about Johannes Kepler, the 16th century German astronomer and a very committed Christian. He actually once said, the world of nature, the world of man, the world of God, all three fit together. And Galileo Galilei, of course, the great 17th century Italian mathematician, he actually once made this, I think, this marvellous little quip, which I think was familiar to those who may be listening to you. The Bible was written to show us how to go to heaven, not how the heavens go. And Robert Boyle, the English chemist and a deeply humble Christian, said, the vastness, beauty, the orderliness of heavenly bodies, the excellent structure of animals and plants and other phenomena of nature justly induce an intelligent, unprejudiced observer to conclude a supreme, powerful, just and good author. So here are people, and there are people today like John Polkinghorne, people like Francis Collins, you know, the Human Genome Project, who once wrote a book, Science is the Language of God, you know, who are very articulate people, rational people, who can say, I am quite comfortable holding these two together because I do not see them as being essentially in conflict, that they actually can sit together at the same table and have something to say to one another. Mm. And it just does no good for people like the new atheists, who in a sense have a faith position themselves, and that is that science is all there is, and science is the only way to truth.
So their belief is in science.
Their belief is in science. And to say that faith is irrational, Dawkins has once said it's a virus in his book, The God Delusion. I think he talks about it as being a virus that has permeated the human race and so on. But I'm a Christian. I have thought through very carefully my position. Not irrationally, I don't think. I've thought through the claims of the gospel upon my life, a lot of geological evidence. I've worked it through, I've read books, I've thought about it very carefully, and I hope intelligently. And therefore, my faith is a rational faith, but it's a different sort of rationality which you attribute to science. Science based upon the rational sort of scientific method. It's a different sort of rationality. And I think it's still a very robust sort of rationality for me to come to terms with the fact that I believe there is a God and he has a claim upon my life.
Can you explain more about that rationality?
Well, I'm convinced by the textual reliability of the Bible, for example. I'm convinced by archaeological findings and by the testimony by many people whom I've encountered, I suppose, over 40 years of my Christian faith, let alone the remarkable internal consistency and beauty and intricacy of a universe that speaks to me of a creator who's brought it all into being. Now, all of those sort of converge together to make me feel, hey, you know, it's not irrational to actually have faith. Now, at the end of the day, I'm a Christian because in the midst of all of that, God has spoken to me. And therefore, it is a step of faith in believing that. But faith isn't, I suppose, quoting the White Queen's words to Alice, believing six impossible things before breakfast, nor is it a blind sort of leap in the dark. So my faith is based upon working through a whole lot of things which for me are reasonable. I just happen to believe that contemporary science gives us a good fit in terms of how things came into being. That's not the ground of my salvation. So the ground of my salvation is Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. That's where I stand.
You've been listening to Messages of Hope. For more information about faith and what it means for your life, go to messagesofhope.org.au, where you can order a free booklet called When in Doubt, Read the Book. It'll guide you through how the Bible reveals God's plan for your life. For your free booklet, When in Doubt, Read the Book, go to messagesofhope.org.au or call 1-800-353-350. That's 1-800-353-350. I'm Richard Fox, a pastor of the Lutheran Church, where love comes to life. I hope you can join us again next week when Celia and I talk about anger. Why is it so easy to get angry? And how can we manage it better?